Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now, this is a theme song. Unlike some others, this is a theme song.
This will get them lines packed. Be careful how long you let that play.
That's true.
If you don't want a tsunami, I'd cut that down.
Hey, man, I was doing some Sunday night, I think it was. Yeah, it was Sunday night as the Lions were just kicking the Vikings' ass, right? And the game was close for the first half. Vikings had plenty of opportunities. Doc, I don't know how much of that game you got to see.
I saw every second of
it. Yeah. I mean,
I don't miss rumbles.
All right, so the Lions just, you know, as everybody knows, Jahmyr Gibbs saw some, pull away and whatever, and they're just pounding them. So I said, I got to get some of these Odyssey at work, you know, the modules, copyright infringement, this, that, you know, all the different things that we've got to do to maintain legality purposes and whatnot. And they're teaching me about this stuff, and I'm watching the football game, and I'm trying to watch Commanders tape, and I'm trying to do this all at the same time. And,
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how I do it either.
I
don't know what's legal and what's not. Like, sometimes we can play stuff, sometimes we can't. You and I haven't gotten a chance to work together in a couple of weeks. The couple of days that I was here for Christmas, I was like, Matty, why don't we play Christmas music? And he's like, it's under a lock and key, and they threw it away and
Oh, yeah, I was listening.
Yeah, and they threw it away in the ocean.
I always play Christmas, yeah.
Nat
King Cole,
yeah.
Sinatra.
But, I
Luther,
never know what's legal and what's not
Marvin.
Legal around here. But, I know
most
your
money.
I know your theme music. I know your intro, which, you use and is uniquely you. Some might call it a brand, Doc.
Well, I'm not that we'd leave that up to the master marketeers that we have at the station.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to real quickly before we get back to the calls. I wanted to kind of just run this past you and see if you're surprised. I saw this. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Football Insights, which is one of these analytical data Twitter feeds or whatever that I follow, and it just popped up. I happened to see it, and I thought it was kind of interesting. And it's most scrambles in the NFL this year, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And to no surprise, I guess, or certainly not to my surprise, Jaden Daniels is number one. What was the surprise was how far and away the difference is between his competition or for next. And it's not even who you would think, right? Like, you'd probably think, it's Lamar Jackson, or, who am I thinking? Josh Allen, or
Buffalo.
Somebody like that. No, it's not. It's Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos. Now, however they define a scramble, which, clearly they don't define it as a sack. I would assume a scramble in PFF's lexicon would be when you drop back for a pass and then you make some sort of positive yardage. I assume that's what they're counting. I would assume that they don't count sacks as a scramble, but maybe they do. 75 for Jaden Daniels. Next up on the list is Bo Nix at 50. Third on the list is Caleb Williams, and I don't know. I watched Caleb Williams twice in person this year and a bunch on TV, and it seemed like he was always scrambling for his life. I would have thought that number would be way closer. Drake May as four at 45 and Brock Purdy, and maybe this shouldn't be a surprise because of how many injuries they had, running backs and offensive line at 44. So my question to you is, does it surprise you, not that Jaden Daniels had a lot of scrambles, but that the gap is so far between Jaden Daniels and next up Bo Nix? And again, the number, the disparity is 25.
Well, the thing that jumps out at me is only two of the teams that mentioned it are playoff teams. So it's not a brag point. It's not something that I'd strive to get next season because most people, it's a negative. The two guys that are in it high and taking their teams to playoffs are exceptional talents. And not everybody had them as number one. So it doesn't matter where you go, it's what you have and who you're around. And I think it's safe to say that it's the competence in the head coach, coordinator, the system. The quarterback needs a good system to come into so he can be protected. Caleb might still be more talented than all of them, but he couldn't show it, even though I think he had better talent than everybody else. I thought the Bears were better than we are, talent-wise, but they weren't able to exercise that because they're kinks in the armor. They just don't have the best leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of it, I think we find out early in life, the best teams don't always win with the best players.
No,
but
I agree.
The units that are most cohesive, that's who wins.
And who comes together and who makes plays at the very end. And
who's unselfish.
Obviously, we've seen the Commanders.
Some guys want stats.
Mm-hmm.
Me. Look at your dude out in Miami, the Cheetah. He just showed you who he is again.
My dude.
Maybe he'll end up with the Jets or the Giants.
How does he become my dude? I love when Doc does that.
Because he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the Cheetah.
Yeah.
He left Camelot. You know, and Coach Thompson taught me this many years ago.
Hey, man, you want to get paid, you know? Like,
No. Everybody... He said, put me in Green Bay. If I'm rich enough, I can go buy an island and visit the island when I want to get sunshine.
Now, Coach Thompson was pretty smart, wasn't he?
Coach Thompson said, these idiots, they go out and run away for sunshine. You can buy that little island, a little place, but go get the cash.
Yeah, no,
now he's gone. It's a disaster.
Listen, back to the stat. I will say this, and people are going to be mad at this. I worry about this. I knew it was bad. I didn't realize it was this bad and this much of a disparity. I don't want my quarterback under this kind of duress and stress and pressure to where he can't go through his progressions or where he doesn't have time. And sometimes, like on that first sack, the very first play of the game, I think Jaden missed two receivers that were options. I think one was Ertz. And
you've seen that all year.
And one, right, exactly. So some of that is being a rookie quarterback. Some of that is just the level of complexity that the quarterback position brings on.
He trusts himself.
Yes. But I guess what I'm getting at is, Doc, against a heavy blitzing attack. Now, yes, he's got the kryptonite to sometimes beat Todd Bowles, as he did in week one and as he has others. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you.
Ideally, I would love for him to be able to sit back in a cocoon and pick a banged up, injury-depleted Buccaneers secondary to pieces and to eat all the meat off the bones. And I don't know if we're going to get
that.
He may
well morph into that guy. But right now, I think his instincts is that he doesn't trust the people up front either.
Mm.
So he trusts himself more. So when he doesn't see, he trusts himself. If he gets out there on the ledge, and sometimes it hasn't worked out. But if his body's 100%, then I trust him.
That's the question, though. Is it 100%?
May not be, I'm happy that we have a dual system we can work with. But we're still not getting away from the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that is, we no longer can dictate tempo by our running game. And that's a problem.
And that is a problem. We'll get more into that, obviously, as the show goes along, because we got to figure this out and see how they're going to sort through this. Because guess what? Vita Vea is the best thing that Tampa Bay defense has. Period. And they got Shaq Barrett back, and they've got a smart mind in Todd Bowles and
Vita
blitzing
Vea,
and all that. But
Linnell.
Vita Vea is the best they've got, man.
That's Linnell. That's right.
Well, I'll leave that one aside. Let's get to Dr. Sabah to kick off hour number two. Doc, how are you?
Oh, good. You got me?
Yes, I got you. I got you.
Doctor.
All right. Hey, guys. Hey, shout out to the K-9s, Jonesy and Bonesy and Little and all those guys.
Jonesy and Bonesy and Honesy and Ronesy and Monesy.
Yeah, all those guys. And
drive me crazy.
Than Paulie. Yeah. I'm going to say that. This is the one, Adam. All right. So, okay, here we go. I think there is so many parallels to the 2012 season. Hear me out here, okay? So we had, you know, the guy, right? And he needed help in two games, right? RG3 needed Kirk Cousins in the Cleveland game and Baltimore Ravens game. So really two of those wins was from Kirk Cousins. And then we go to the playoffs, and RG3's injured, up 14-0, refused to come out of the game because he didn't want Kirk Cousins to take over. I don't see that with Jaden. Jaden is a team guy, and he's okay, and the coaches are in control. If you're not doing it right or we think you're hurt, you're out. And then we got Mariota, who I must apologize to. I did not want him on this team. He looked horrible when he was in Atlanta. Then after that QB thing where he left the team, I was all out on him.
Yeah.
But I tell you something.
So were a lot of other people.
Yes. Yes. So I want to apologize to him. And if Jaden, you're listening, you need to throw the ball away, sir, instead of taking sacks. Don't run out of bounds 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage to keep your percentage up. I want you throwing the ball away. We know you're a good quarterback. Don't worry about your completion percentage. Now, so what I'm thinking is in this 2012 sort of redo, we are now have a chance to win if something happens to Jaden with Mariota and keep this thing going because we have a little bit of magic. The only thing I'm concerned about is we haven't beaten really a good team, you know, without their starting quarterback. So, or with their starting quarterback. So I was wondering what you guys thought of that in the parallel between this year's team and the 2012 team. Because I don't see the hatred for Mariota like there was hatred for Kirk Cousins.
I think there was skepticism about Mariota. I don't think I don't know if hatred ever. But remember, in 2012, there was no hatred for Kirk Cousins either.
Oh my God, big time!
No,
if you said something nice about Kirk, you were called bad names on the radio, and we all know that.
Doc, I don't remember it quite that way. That was, to me, that was more after Robert started to fall apart. And what I mean by that is not in 2012. I mean in 2013, 2014, and then obviously once Kirk became a starter. But maybe I'm remembering
for
it.
Not coming out.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive Robert for not coming out of that Seattle game. I never forgive the coach for not making him come out.
That's
malpractice.
That's on the parent. Yeah. They were running around asking him his opinion. That's their fault.
Yeah, if this guy's not that way, if he ain't doing something right, he'll say, hey, my leg hurts. Okay, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, he's
well,
smart
I don't,
about it.
But, yeah, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, we'll never be privy to it, but I don't know if that's going to be the case this Sunday night. Like, they all said he could have stayed in there if the game really, really, if it was do or die, i.e. this Sunday night. So we're going to have to see.
Then we would have lost. He was not playing well.
Yeah.
I'm glad
well,
he came out.
That's another part of this.
Lights out. Yep. And he's played lights out in Carolina. I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit, and this is why everybody complains. I'm backhanding compliment. Cliff Kingsbury has made Marcus Mariota relevant again. I thought he was, like, trash. I mean, like, okay, you're done, dude. I mean, I know you were high pick and all, but it didn't work out. And he's making Jaden Daniels look like a future Hall of Famer. Now, is that Jaden or is that the offensive coordinator? I don't care as long as we get the results.
All right, there you go.
So I think Cliff needs to stick around because we need it.
I think he will ultimately stick around. We did that late last week. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you. Always
thanks,
good
Doc.
To hear from you. Let's go to, let's see here. Sanchez is up
Sanchez.
Next. Sanchez. How did that feel? Is Mrs. Sanchez still licking the wounds from a 7-10 season and a last second beatdown by the Burgundy and Gold?
Yeah, I think so. I think she was in hotter water than those folks at FS1, but no loss.
Well, you better hope there's no lawsuit and that anything close to what happened at FS1 is happening in the Sanchez household.
No, it was great. It was a blessing. My wife learned to mind her manners, and, you know, she made the excuse, like every other Cowboy fan does, that, you know, they had nothing to play for, and, you know, it was just here and there, and I said, once we won the game, I said, bring me my baby up here so he knows this is what winning football is and no excuses. So, you know, and he enjoyed himself, so we loved it. I'm excited. I'm like Paulie. I hear a lot of loser talk because everybody's talking about the off season already, what we need to do for 2025. We still got ball to play, boys and girls. Why y'all worried about what's going to happen after the season over when we're right in the season right now? That's loser mentality to me. You know, we got to talk about Jaden being hurt or whatever or what might be. I personally think it was planned. I think they were going to do that from the jump anyway. But, you know, we'll see. I swear to God, I've got the green card ready to rip up for Benjamin St. Juice, though. Like, we need to bring him up on charges and just send him, just push him back over the border in Canada, get him deported if he can't play. I'm not sorry I said that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, he's a free agent, so, yeah, I mean, you don't need a green card. Nice, you could just say goodbye at the end of the year.
Burn it up, because you know he's from Canada. So, yeah, burn it up, send him back up there. And, you know, he can play hockey with how physical he is on those defenders.
He does like to clutch and grab. He does Although, I got to say, right. I mean, the first penalty was totally cool.
It was garbage.
The second penalty, that was the horse crap call.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But they do that all the time. I told Paul this. You got to think, these officials do film study, too, and I think they just get trigger happy on him. They're like, oh, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, St. Jude's probably did something wrong. I'm just going to throw the flag and, you know, let them forgive me later on. But, you know, it is what it is. We got to pray for him. And Jane Daniels, hi. I believe you're listening to us, so hello to you, too, sir. and, Doc, I don't forget about you. I listen on Saturdays. I might not call in, but I don't forget about you. I love you.
All right, Sanchez.
Thank you, Sanchez.
I appreciate you. I feel you, man.
As always.
K-9 for life.
Sure. Tell your wife she's not at fault for liking the silver and blue. And
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
Well, then tell her that.
No, that's okay.
Just make her cook you a couple of extra good dinners this week, okay?
I'm not trying to get sick, Rooster, before a playoff game. You must be out your mind.
There you go.
Attaboy, little food poisoning. There you go. Thank you, Sanchez. Doc, speaking of which, now that the Commanders are back, we hope sustainably for good. We know the Cowboys, this was a major disappointment, but chance they could be back next year. Is the rivalry, if you thought it was still the most important thing, is it still the most important thing, or is
it
just a thing?
Well, we didn't go backwards. We're on pause. It's 500 split. It's no different than a year ago. So, no, we're okay now. We didn't lose it. Had we been swept, we could have won the Super Bowl, and it still wouldn't have mattered because the Cowboys will say, we've done this in the past. So this was good, the fact that we earned that win, and now we go handle some business. But next year we start it back up again. At least it's legit.
There you go. We'll take a quick time out here. 220, Team 980, and the Odyssey app. The DOC is in the house on a Tuesday afternoon making a house call until 4 o'clock. And Craig Hoffman at that point. Wizards Rockets tonight here on the radio station, 645 from Capital One Arena with Dave Johnson and company. We'll keep you company until 4 o'clock. Still to come, lots of other NFL news that we've got to get to, including my two favorite teams, the Jets and the Giants. We got to put the focus on that. Right, Doc?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've got to put the focus on that.
I don't know why you're stalling so much.
That's coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Doc, you remember Vanilla Ice, don't you? Maybe not. Maybe Doc doesn't remember Vanilla Ice. Do you remember Vanilla Ice, Tongue? Okay. No, I just want to make sure. Yeah. You know, this song, this tune, the intro, the beat, whatever, the vocal. Until I know, Under Pressure from Queen, very, very similar. So, like, you have to almost, like, really listen and lock in. But there is a slight little difference, I think. It's certainly a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more aggressive, if you will. Speaking of aggressive, you think the Commanders are going to be aggressive from the start on Sunday night, or do you think they'll maybe play a little timid? And the reason why I ask that is I would have preferred, I don't know how you kind of read this, I've been calling for like a trick play, like a what do they call those, where you hand the ball off and then the running back? Yeah, flea flicker. I've been calling for a flea flicker, a trick, you know, an end around reverse. And like they ran one in Tampa week one with Luke McCaffrey that wasn't a flea flicker and wasn't exactly what we saw Sunday with Diami. But it there were certainly, you know, some elements of it. I was hoping that they would save that play that we saw on Sunday night that should have been 7 to OZ. I mean,
yeah,
OZ's been great, but Doc, you got to catch that. I mean, if that happens, if something like that happens this Sunday night, oh my God, and they lose by, you know, a couple of points, people are never going to be able to let that dude down. And I'm not just talking about OZ. I mean, it could happen to anybody. But, I mean, you got to catch it. I was just kind of hoping that they would save, and maybe they have other tricks in the bag, and I'm sure they do, right?
They do.
You know, but I'm trying to think of what they could do in from a creative standpoint that they haven't done, again, because now we've seen Diami throw. We've seen Luke McCaffrey almost have that opportunity again week one in Tampa. I wonder what Cliff is cooking up in the lab. But back to the question about being aggressive and being up-tempo, I wonder if not only do they take, and I think they should, Doc, they got to take a deep shot early in this game. I mean, I don't want to see, quite honestly, a lot of east-west. Like, to me, Tampa, the one weakness they have is their secondary. They're getting Shaq Barrett back. We talked about Vita Vea. They've got to test out that really injury banged up secondary. If you're going to win this game, I think you're going to win it on the arm of Jaden Daniels and hopefully in the hands of a Terry McLaurin or a Diami Brown or even, I guess, OZ or somebody like that, maybe McCaffrey. But my point being is be aggressive early. You know, like if you've got a lineup, I mean, Jaden's obviously in gun a lot or in pistol a lot. Drop them 4 or 5 steps back, 3 steps, whatever you want to do in terms of the drop. And let one go, man, and take a shot. See if you get a defensive pass interference if you can't get the completion.
Yeah, you know, I just believe that on Tuesday, until the injury report comes up, I'd like to know who's going to actually be in a game before I start imagining plays. Because some of it then becomes fantasy because you don't even know who's going to play. And that means so much to us because protection has been up and down. And trick plays are like icing on a cake. The base of the cake is what goes inside. And if we can't run off tackle on demand and get at least 3 yards and then physically impose ourselves on them against their strength. But Vita Vea is only one guy. They don't have 3 of them. They got 1 of them. So I just think that we're avoiding the issue. The issue is that are we going to be dictated to by their defense, and Todd, or are we going to be able to impose our will on them? Because if we start talking off about trick plays to start it off, stick a fork in them.
Well, I don't think you do it to start off the game. I guess I'm just saying be aggressive early. And I remember in Tampa week one, they didn't stretch the field. Unless I'm forgetting one, until the first drive of the second half. When you say, all right, maybe you wanted to give Jaden some time to get the oil running through the engine and see how everything looks and whatnot. I get that. This is not week one anymore. This is week 19, game 18. Like, attack a weakness. If you can't naturally run the ball, which they haven't been able to do since the Tennessee game, I want to see, and even if, like, remember the New Orleans game? They took 3 deep shots to Terry in the second half, and all 3 of them they came up short on. I'd rather see that, Doc, and them lose than see them come out east-west, you know, nickel and dime the whole game, not take anything more than maybe 1 moderately deep shot. I don't know if I'm making sense, but to me, I'd rather go down with...
Yeah, you want to be aggressive from a finesse standpoint. I'm saying I want to be aggressive from a physical standpoint. I want to find out, I want to measure ourselves up going downhill right at the point of attack. I don't want to give them Vita. I mean, it's not like I want them to prove that it. And we're going to just get it all out of the way. I want them to force my hand, because if I come out with razzle dazzle and it doesn't work, that to me gives them too much of an advantage.
All right, we can touch on that on the other side, because I do think there's a way that they could do it better than they did in week one. I want to, you know, kind of touch on that and kind of move that part of the conversation forward. So much of this is going to be, okay, what we saw in week one, but again, so much has changed. We will see. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now, then we'll get back to the calls. I know Walton, Tampa, and DC and Bethesda are hanging on. We'll get to you guys right after the bottom of the hour break right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, around the NFL, lots of news while the Commanders prepare for those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tennessee Titans, they own the number one pick. They are keeping Brian Callahan as their head coach entering into year number two, but not general manager Rand Carthon. 3-14, and again, the number one overall pick. Carthon out after just a couple of years as the general manager. He came over from the San Francisco 49ers. Meanwhile, as we told you about an hour ago, Pep Hamilton, who of course has D.C. ties, and Byron Leftwich, who is from D.C. and was last seen with the Buccaneers as their offensive coordinator and helped them win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady just a couple of years ago, both interviewing for the New England Patriots head coaching position earlier today. The Chargers have officially signed Ezekiel Elliott for a little bit of running back depth going into the postseason. We know Mr. Harbaugh likes to run the football. From the NBA, the Wizards home tonight for the Houston Rockets. Wiz playing a little bit better of late, although still 6-27. You can hear it all with Dave Johnson and company starting at 6:45 after Craig Hoffman right here on the Team 980. And all sorts of rumors and mumblings. Bradley Beal could be on the move out of Phoenix. We will see what happens with that. Once again, the Suns very disappointing, but they did snap a four-game losing streak with a 109-99 win last night in Philadelphia over the Sixers. Beal coming off the bench and scoring 25 points in his first game off the Pine in 9 years. And that's what's trending. All right, the DOC is with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get out to D.C. and Bethesda and Walton, Tampa in just a sec. Doc, you were talking about, you know, not being too fancy, smoke and mirrors, you know, getting after him physically. Vea, who we mentioned, he's a great run stopper. I looked up something during the break. I just wanted to check it out. And this is according to NFL GSIS, which is the official league statistical service. Okay, so, you know, you take it as it is, this is what the league puts out, right? The Commanders have, by far, the most rushing attempts for them as a team as defined as up the middle, which is where Vita Vea plays. He's the nose tackle for Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, up the middle can be, I assume they're talking basically wherever the gap is that they hit, either side of the center, a gap, and I assume that's what they classify as just purely up the middle, because they also have right guard, right tackle, right end, left guard, left tackle, left end. So I assume that's what we're talking about here. But 108 rushing plays as defined up the middle. Now, that is 16th out of 32 in the NFL. But they average 4.94 yards per play running up the middle, which ranks them fifth in the NFL in terms of average gain at almost 5 yards per play as defined up the middle. So I would ask you this. If you know Vita Vea is as good as he is, and you know your natural run game has struggled as much as it has, do you go at him early and often and try and wear his ass out and see what you might be able to pop, because maybe they're not expecting that? Or do you try and stay away from it and go elsewhere?
I go at it and make him prove that he's all that, because it just fuels your confidence for a defense if one of my plus is truly a plus. It's psychological. The soon as he stuffs your run, it empowers them. As soon as we get 3 to 4 yards running right up the gut, it deflates them. We went right after strength. And it's mano a mano. And then you set up play action. We don't fall into their trap a la the Buckeyes against the Wolverines and get sucker punched. But we also don't let them dictate to us like we're scurred. That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to be put on the extreme perimeter because we don't have the guts to attack them at their strength. And then whatever it is, the last thing we're going to do is talk about it. It's not going to be a media item. You're not going to know it until game time. And then you're not going to know it until you see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to in any way, shape, or form give away any trade secrets. Here's my question. I know Cliff likes to run inside zone. I know Cliff, and obviously these numbers tell us that they like to run in between the A-gap, and a lot of teams do, and so on and so forth, right? I remember in that week one game, they did not only really challenge Vita Vea a whole lot, but they also didn't run to the edges and the perimeters like I thought, and to the perimeter like I thought, with toss sweeps and, you know, toss pitches and all that to try and get away from him, but also get downhill. So I'm hoping I see more of that in this particular matchup to try and stretch out that Tampa Bay front. But here's the one thing that I keep going back to is, and I talked to Jay Gruden about this yesterday. For anybody that missed it, Jay, obviously with us every Monday, you can hear the entire interview on the Odyssey app and as well at theteam980.com. You know, and I keep thinking about this. Even though Tampa's really banged up in the secondary, really banged up, and that is obviously the clear advantage that Washington has on offense versus their defense, and clearly the disadvantage, logically, common sense, and statistically, would tell you they don't have a matchup trying to run the football up the middle and trying to grind out yards, and because they haven't been successful really since the Tampa game in the natural run game. I keep thinking, man, if you can find a way to run the ball, or at the very minimal, be serviceable, I think you slow down that blitz. I think you slow down the aggressiveness of Todd Bowles, don't you, right? I mean, if teams have to honor mm-hmm. the run and the commitment to the run, whether it's super successful or not, Doc, I don't think you can pin your ears back, A, as a natural pass rush, and B, even as aggressive as Todd is, I don't think you are as aggressive if the Commanders are truly committed to it, which I don't know if they have been because they've had a lack of success the last four games. Does that make sense?
I agree with you. Yeah. It is so encouraging if you can dictate to the offense. And with Todd, you know pretty much what Todd wants to do, keep you off balance. He wants an advantage. You want to punk the other team, especially the younger team. Now, you won the first time out, and you can attribute that to his youth, but it wasn't a blowout. And I think we want this second opportunity more than they want to see us again. Believe me. Well, everybody last week was talking about who you want to see privately. Sody and Pinnethal, you do the whole thing. A lot of people probably wanted to avoid JD5 and take their chances with someone else. I personally wanted a limited quarterback that didn't run. So I'll take my chances against a former Super Bowl quarterback if he's not mobile. I don't want a guy, or Hurst, who doesn't throw well from the pocket but is highly mobile. It's a 50-50. But then you start getting guys like Baker, who's mobile and can throw it, but he also will give it up. So it's a wild card. That's what makes this. NBC pushed this to the Peacock for a reason. This is why.
All right, let's get back to the calls, and let's get to D.C. and Bethesda, then we'll get to Walton Tampa after that. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
Great day, fellas. I'm doing very well. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Happy New Year, brother.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. Happy New Year, Doc, Matty Ice.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out to Paulie, man. We was down to 757 at the Virginia Beach Sports Center at the track meet, and all my dad kept saying was, 757. Hail to the W. And the boys will win. Hail to the W. But hey, Doc, we gonna make it real simple for Russell, man. When there's a bully, you go straight at them. You don't go around them or avoid them. You go straight to them. And if it's more than one, you take out the biggest one and the rest will follow. So I'm looking for the big dogs on the field, Lattimore, Louisville, Shin. I look for them to set the tone to start the game. I hope we get the ball first so Lattimore can show them how he handles Mike Evans and everybody else will follow suit. And when it comes to the offense, Doc, Vita Vea, big boy, he take up a lot of space and he can move. Didn't y'all, when y'all ran that gut, was that a trap play? We should run a trap play on him second play of the game and let him know it's not going to be an easy day for him. I look forward to us establishing a run, playing ball control, and setting the tone on defense.
Yeah, it's not easy. We had Big Day Butts. I know what it's like to have a monster on our side. He's a space eater. I mean, he's not just hype. This dude balls out. And unlike a lot of other big guys, he shows up every game. He's going to be a problem until we make him not. But thank goodness for us, our power is right on the opposite side of him. Our best offensive lineman is right over him. So we go mano a mano. Offense wins.
Well, you're talking about Biadasz, right?
Biadasz and or the Longhorn.
Or Sam Cosmi, yeah.
Yeah,
well, here's the thing. Like, it's one thing if you can't run, right? Because Vita Vea is really good and because he's 350 pounds. It's another thing if he demolishes everything like Jalen Carter did early, you know, in that Philadelphia game on Thursday night.
Yeah,
it's one thing, again, if you can't run, okay.
Not that active, yeah.
Right. You can't let him completely collapse the pocket and the integrity of everything that you're doing.
Right.
So that, you know, that's a problem. And obviously, they're a lot better with Biadasz there, and especially if he can climb to the second level. DC, thank you as always. Let's get to our guy Walt in Tampa, who's been waiting on hold for a long time as well. Walt, how are you, pal? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year to both of you.
Same to you,
Coach.
I'm calling because I got two of my top five sports personalities on at the same time.
My guy.
Not in this order, but Stephen A., B. Mitch and Finley, Rooster, and King Dog. Hey, thanks for keeping me around the last four or 5 years.
You're the man.
Was the only thing I really had to look forward to was y'all. But, hey,
appreciate
Doc,
you.
This calls a couple things. One, I don't know if you remember, I called you back during training camp, and I told you that we had the best coaching staff in the league. And you said, well, we're going to have to see about that. Well, we done seen, and what say you now?
Oh, no, great group, because they got results. Well, the best thing they did is they dumped garbage. Don't waste your time on people that don't want to listen. Hit the eject button. The worst thing you can do is waste coaching on hard-headed people. If they don't want to learn, get rid of them.
You know, Dr. Savard was just on, and, you know, I normally don't agree with her on anything, but I agree with her. Now, we're on the same page. I mean, when she was in love with Taylor Heineke and then Sam, I mean, she thought they were the next coming of Alexander the Great. But what she's saying, I'd hate to lose Cliff right now. Cliff, I mean, we got a coaching staff that's open-minded, and this is just my opinion, because it seemed like he's taking in information from all the coaching talent around him also. You know, I told B. Mitch yesterday, what's the biggest thing that surprises me the most is Jaden went from, a 12 or a 13-game season, won all the stuff that goes with winning the Heisman. After that, he went right into training for the combines. Then he went right into rookie mini camp, training camp. He went. Then he played the games, preseason games. Now he's played a season that's four or five games longer than he's ever played. Now he got the playoffs, and he's still showing stamina. I thought he was getting tired towards the end of the season. You know, he just wasn't moving the same, still playing great, you know, but you know, I thought he was tired, but I am amazed with his stamina. I know he's young, but it's hard to prepare for all that. What do you say about that?
Well, he's young. He over-prepares. He's there at 5:30 in the morning. He's built for this. So when you over prepare, he don't have to get ready. He wakes up ready.
There you
He's
go.
Not at the club.
Well, I got. Hey, Doc.
Yep.
I got. I'm gonna finish up with this. Hey, I designed a shirt for the for Doc's dogs. So I'm gonna give it to you when you're down here. I'm coming to the game. No, Rooster, don't laugh, because I got a Rooster T-shirt too.
Oh,
ain't nothing but a Rooster.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're gonna have to probably ship those up here because I don't think either one of the of us are gonna be at the game. It's just too problematic with the Sunday night time slot and all that. But Walt, always appreciate you and the kind words and thank
Stay
you.
Stay strong, Walt.
Means a lot to us.
K-9
obviously,
life.
Appreciate you. Happy New Year, brother. You know, very kind of Walt to say that. And, you know, obviously B. Mitch and Finley are very successful at what they do. And to be in that class, Doc, I'll take it, right? I mean, who else did he put? He said, what, Colin Cowherd? Or I forget who else he said. B. Mitch and Finley, us,
and
Colin Cowherd. I don't remember. But either way, very nice of him to say that. All right, coming up, more of your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get to Telly. We'll get to you as well. We'll bounce around the rest of the NFL and clean up on aisle three still to come. A bunch of things we haven't gotten to yet, but we can still get you in. I'm starting to dig into the stats and the game plan and all that as we move on from Dallas and head towards Tampa for the wild card weekend. Sunday nighter, one and done, hopefully is not the plan for the Commanders on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, DOC, we continue the march along towards 4 o'clock. Manny, can we take another call? Okay, let's take a quick call here. Let's get Telly aboard here. Is this the real Telly? Or is this the OG Telly? Is this the original tribal chief? What are we dealing with here? Do we have any idea? No? Telly? Telly's not paying attention.
You guys are really patient.
I tried. You know, I tried. All I can do is try, Doc.
I understand. You're a nice guy.
I am. I'm a really nice guy. Doc, I wanted to quickly ask you this. Did you see any of the new Monday Night Raw last night on Netflix?
Oh, God. Spectacular.
You liked it?
No, I loved it. Liked it. I loved it. I mean, in L.A., so getting a lot of shots. Mm-hmm.
It was too Hollywood for me, Doc. There was too much celebrity bull crap. I don't care about any of those.
It was not a New
York
thing.
Bill Simmons is the most ridiculous. I have no use for Bill Simmons.
Well,
get
it's
out
not
of
an LA. It's an LA thing. I didn't think you'd like it.
I know.
Because it's not a New York thing.
Well, I like LA. I just don't like the whole Hollywood thing.
You asked me, did I see it and watch it? And so my sister called me. She said, because Roman Reigns is in it, mm-hmm. and she's screaming and hollering about the results. And I said, oh, my God, let's try Netflix with it. Now, having to be forced to watch commercials is different. And I noticed that really it almost helps you relax when you realize that you go, okay, I can do nothing about this. I actually have to, I'm out of control. I like the remote is control.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm taken out of control.
Mm.
But there's nothing I can do about it. So I saw it being a sense of patience and then waiting for the action to resume. And it was such quality. It was just well done. And I enjoyed it. I thought about Tyler. I was hoping that he would get a chance to enjoy it, seeing the L.A. side of it, because his father's so East Coast biased. And I want him to just be able to understand the beauty of the West Side. And so that was it. That's what I was thinking.
Doc, you know what we should do? There's this new podcast. It's called The Rooster and the Rookie. It's all about professional wrestling, right?
It's good.
We had this
it's
segment good. Called Mark of the Week, right? And we should maybe reach at, like, do you think we might be able to get you on to be our Mark of the Week on this new podcast?
I'll
I don't do shows like that unless the producers are really smooth.
I know the guy. I'll talk to him. We'll
you
get
think
you
we can make
up.
This happen? I mean, it would be our honor to have a legend on, you know.
You asked me about WWE and the whole nine thing, yeah. Netflix. It was just, I thought it was very well done. Right. Being forced to watch commercials, that was a little different for me. But in terms of the competition, and I thought it was outstanding.
I want to get into something on the other side about this, because you mentioned, you know, some of the commercials and all that stuff. I want to finish that up on the other side at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.